This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting closer and closer to Super Bowl 59, Maggie and Perloff show here in New Orleans on Radio Row. And one of the things we love about this week is not just the Hall of Famers and the Super Bowl champions that we get to speak to, but the up-and-comers, the next generation. And right now joining us on our set, we're so pleased to welcome in former Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe on behalf of Auto Trader. So, Jalen, how do you think your last season at Alabama went?
I have no regrets for last season. Everything that was poured into the season, I just correlate everything to the offseason. You know, getting to know new people with a new staff change. Also getting to know new people as far as the offensive side of the ball. Because we only had three returning starters. We have two guards and me at quarterback. And so it was all about the relationship aspect that I'll always cherish forever. Of course, you know, when you start the season off, you have short-term goal, long-term goal that you want to accomplish. And winning is everything, you know, of course. But the relationship that was built this past season, the grind, the sweat, the grit from everybody as a whole, to be able to start the season off and then finish the season with the guys is what means the most to me. So I think that's how I just narrow my focus into that aspect of it, and just acknowledging that I have no regrets because I poured everything into the season.
You know, it's the era of NIL and transfer portal, and I remember when you would come in as a backup for Bryce Young. Were you ever tempted to leave Alabama, or when Coach Saban left?
Not necessarily because of Coach Saban. You know, one thing he harps on is about trusting the process. Everybody's process is different when playing football. And so, of course, you know, my angle was always taking a rep. When I say always taking a rep, a mental rep and a physical rep whenever I'm in and whenever I'm not in. Mm. And so that correlated to my growth as a quarterback, growth as a person, just always trying to grow each and every day, because I know that, you know, the cliche thing is 1% better. Mm. And so if you just pouring into yourself 1%, 1%, 1%, you're going to get better. And so when the day came to be the starting quarterback, I was prepared to go.
What about when Coach DeBoer came in? Was there any thoughts of leaving at that point and trying something else?
No, absolutely. I didn't want to make an emotional decision early on. You know, of course, you know, it was a shock to everybody that Coach Saban retired. And so just acknowledging and seeing who was going to take the job, who was going to come in, having a spring under our belt to be around these coaches. And so it was all about being patient and just understanding it was a process. Yep.
Jalen Milroe is with us on behalf of Auto Trader, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Now that you've had a full season to reflect back, what were the biggest differences between Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban?
Yeah, I think what's harped on is the differences, but one thing that's unique about both of them is the standard of excellence. They both pushed us to be our very, very best. Of course, when he talks about a program, it's going to be different. You know, different mindsets when harping on a team. But they both correlate to the standard of excellence. They always try to pour into us, just ensuring that we're on the right path to be the best version of ourselves, no matter what we're doing on and off the field, to be better men. You know, they both see football differently, but it's the standard excellence that pushes us.
You know, you're going to be doing draft prep and preparing for all different kinds of offensive systems. When you think about your next step in the NFL, what's the perfect kind of offense for Jalen Milroe? What would you like to run if you could choose it yourself?
Yeah, for sure. You know, one thing that's big, just not being one-dimensional, being able to attack defenses in all areas of the game, passing game, running game. And so there's so many offenses out there that have exposure to that. And so we just want to be dynamic on offense. You know, Coach Saban simplified the game. Being a point guard with the football, distributing the ball to our playmakers to allow them to do amazing things in space, whether distributing them in that running game, whether it's distributing them in a passing game, just doing your job in a sense. So for me, I don't really have a mindset what exactly I want to run, but I just know it's going to be a lot of fun.
Jalen Milroe is with us. You just came off of the Senior Bowl. What was the biggest compliment you got and the biggest critique?
I think the biggest compliment I made is I was coachable, you know, able to grow. You know, I came in just wanting to learn, grow. This is my firsthand experience being around NFL coaches, being around them, the exposure that I was able to have as a whole. The critique necessarily would be always grind, always look to get better. And that's for all of us there. You know, it wasn't a critique necessarily for me, but also just all of us on the field, just trying to grow and get better as a person, because all coaches want to see is the development piece of just growing and getting better.
We were talking to Ryan Leaf, who's a good friend of Perloff's and has become a friend of mine, and he met you at the Senior Bowl, and he said one of the things you guys had a conversation about, you know, creating your own expectations, not other people's. Alabama quarterbacks have been like on this rocket ship when it goes to the draft of going number one overall or going in the first round. You feel an expectation to live up to those other Alabama QBs, and or how do you avoid that and make sure you're just on your own and doing your own thing?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think prior to the NFL draft, it was acknowledging what it took to be a starting quarterback at the University of Alabama prior to taking my first snap. And so I think that honestly, you know, geared my mindset to this process of going through draft prep. It's being prepared for all, you know, scenarios when it comes to what is in store. But also just acknowledging the great people that have started in the role, you know, with the people that led the way with Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, Tua, Bryce. And so those are great guys. And so all you want to do is learn and just acknowledge, you know, what right looks like in a sense. So it's so much exposure to great quarterbacks and being at Alabama. So I have a firsthand experience of seeing that.
So one thing that's notable about you is your speed, obviously. I saw your teammates talking about you. Say you're the fastest guy on the team. Is this true? Faster than Ryan Williams? I don't know if you guys have raced. Do you think you'll be running as part of this pre-draft process? And if so, have you thought about it? There are people who think you might run, if you choose to run, a crazy 40.
I'm still in decision-making of running the 40. I definitely have speed. It's something that's constantly been growing, constantly a part of my game as a quarterback, just making it harder for defenses, you know, as much as possible. But as far as being fast on the team, I'll say that my speed is always at the top when it comes to our football team when it's on the board.
Jalen Milroe just came off a fantastic career, the Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback. Do you think you could start right away in the NFL, or would you like to go to a place where maybe you get to learn from a veteran?
Yeah, absolutely. The competitive nature in me, of course, starting right away, going to an organization that is the best fit for me, but also acknowledging that there's room to grow. You know, where I want to be right now to my first start in the NFL, there need to be work. And so right now it's all about the grind, putting my head down, acknowledging whatever is a weakness turning to a strength, whatever is my strength turning even stronger. So at this point right now, it's all about preparing, getting better, and also just knowing that I got to learn a new system wherever I go.
So, correct me if I'm wrong on this timeline. Were you there with Jalen Hurts at all at Alabama? You missed him.
Nah, right? I missed him.
Do you have a relationship? Because I'm thinking about a guy who had an interesting transition to the NFL, had to go to Oklahoma and show off his passing skills. What can you learn from Jalen Hurts? We're, by the way, right underneath the Jalen Hurts poster. Right,
yeah. Literally lording over us on this big banner.
Yeah. No, I like Jalen Hurts a lot. One thing that is so important is the growth aspect of it. Just trying to constantly get better, constantly acknowledge just the journey piece. That's, you know, it's beauty in the journey. Yeah. And something that's always been a theme of his career, a theme of who he is as a person, is just the joy in the process. And there's so much things I can take away from him. Me, biasness, you know, he's from Texas. So you know what I'm saying? He's from Texas, so I'm always behind him. Alabama quarterback as well. So we have a relationship. The best thing about playing this game, having the support, and he's been supportive throughout my career, and also vice versa. So I'm always pulling for him.
All right, you know, Houston, right?
Yeah.
So if you had to do a Mount Rushmore of Texas high school quarterbacks, and we know how big, who are your top four guys, four best Texas high school quarterbacks?
Kyler Murray, number one. Kyler Murray, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees. I got to think on that
one. Stafford from Texas?
Stafford from Dallas, yep.
Yeah, he's from Dallas. I give it to him. I give it to Stafford. Those are my guys.
What about Jalen Milroe?
Jalen Miller, that's not for me to decide.
Well, I'm talking about in high school, because I imagine you were quite good in high school.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I was able to go to the University of Alabama.
Yeah, you were pretty good.
I love how Micah Parsons said he was recruited to Alabama to play running back.
Yeah.
Imagine him playing running back. Your teammate, Jalen Miller, joining us on behalf of Auto Trader here at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. What kind of car do you drive? Obviously, this spoke to you in some way to team up with Auto Trader. Are you a big car guy?
I am. And so I have a first-hand experience of using Auto Trader. I was able to purchase the Porsche. And so I just know the process that's all involved of it. Although it's a stressful process of trying to select a car, they made it easy. Just the process, the budgeting process of it, the information, the easy access, and just the exposure that, you know, I was able to have through that process. So they made it easy. And so I just know that in the future I'm going to be using Auto Trader as well.
Yeah.
You can go to autotrader.com. I mean, it'd be everyone can buy a Porsche. Go ahead. Listen, you earned it, Jalen. You absolutely did.
Yeah, Jalen's like me. He's just a nice guy. We're probably a bad negotiator. Like, I so Auto Trader is so much easier because if anybody,
you're not good on the lot.
I'll get the price up on it.
Yeah.
Jalen Milroe, on behalf of Auto Trader, thank you so much and good luck in the draft process. And we'll talk to you again, hopefully, before you get drafted.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Now, the big question is, where is Jalen Milroe going to get drafted? Like, what round? Because, you know, Pearl, if we talked about the Senior Bowl and he had some really good stuff, as he told you, they complimented him that he's coachable and he's kind of like a work in progress, as we all are. But and then he was a little inconsistent as well. That kind of mirrors what we saw at Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting under a Jalen Hurts poster. They're both from Houston. They've both been really system dependent on how much they pass the ball, but they're both very strong and great runners. I don't know, maybe second round like Jalen Hurts and he becomes a really good player.
Yeah, I could see that. Maggie and Perloff show. You can call us at 855-212-4227. So that was a little Jalen Milroe. Just want to give a heads up to all the Cowboys fans out there. The one and only Emmett Smith will be joining us later in this hour. So if you'd like to hear from Emmett, what he has to say about the moving on from Mike McCarthy, the ushering in of the Brian Schottenheimer era, and whether or not Jerry is standing in the way of this team actually getting back to the top of the mountain, that's coming your way in just a little bit. Okay, lots more to do here from Radio Row. We get back to it right after this.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie, we're so excited.
I know. Absolutely one of our favorite guests who we get to sit with. It feels like every year at the Super Bowl, the Hall of Famer. And that's Emmett Smith, who's here on behalf of Tableau, which we'll get to in just a moment. Emmett, it's so good to see you. We love these yearly chats. We got to make this happen more often.
Well, they keep the Super Bowl going. We keep living. We can't make it happen.
Okay, so first things first, before we get to Tableau, obviously lots of changes going on with your former team, the Dallas Cowboys, and the head coach. Clear something up for me quickly before we get into Brian Schottenheimer, Mike McCarthy. When that job became available, did you want that job? Did you want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, not literally.
Okay.
Put it this way. I did tell someone asked me about coaching. And I did make a statement. If I did come and coach any teams, there's only three teams I really want to coach. The Dallas Cowboys, the University of Florida Gators, and the Texas A&M Aggies. That's it. Those are the three teams I want to coach for. And that was it. And somebody took the statement and ran with it.
Okay. So this was a hypothetical.
It's very much a hypothetical.
Okay.
There's no way.
Why is it a hypothetical? Would you seriously want to coach at some point?
I mean, I like what Deion is doing. I think we former players can make the biggest impact in young men's lives at that level or even lower. Because we've been there, done it. We know what it takes and what's required to get there. We can tell a very talented kid, you're very talented, but you're lazy. And when you're lazy, you won't make it because your talent at some point is going to diminish. And the only thing that's going to keep you going is your work ethic. And if your work ethic is poor, it's going to end quickly. And when you get around other dogs that are hungry and you're not as hungry, you're going to get destroyed. So understanding and creating the environment for fair and open competition is really what it's all about. That's what Nick Saban was so good. And because he had fair and open competition for three-star, four-star, or five-star to develop themselves into quality football players. He created the environment. That's why the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s were as good as we were. because Jimmy created the environment for us to have open and fair competition and compete against our defense, and our defense compete against us, which made us tougher, and which made them tougher, and made us better as a team. So, to me, that's the mold which I come from, which is the old school way of football, not this new soft football. Soft football from a league standpoint when it comes down to rules, when it comes down to hitting, and everything else.
Emmitt Smith is joining us, the Hall of Famer, on behalf of Tableau, which we'll talk to because it ties in, obviously, with the Super Bowl. You know, last year at this time, the Cowboys had just come off that awful loss to the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. No one could figure out why they got smacked in the mouth like that.
And they still haven't figured it out.
It's not fair. And, you know, you were critical of Mike McCarthy at the time, and rightfully so. He's now gone. Do you think that the Cowboys made the right decision to move on, A, and B, is Brian Schottenheimer, their offense coordinator, the right man for this job?
It's kind of confusing because you thought Mike McCarthy fired Kellen Moore so he can call the plays, and now you're telling me Schottenheimer was calling the plays. So I'm a little confused. And when there's confusion, you get what you get right now. And so to me, there has not been – the Cowboys have – migrated from what I would believe was the foundation of the Cowboys organization. And that was when Jimmy and Jerry started this whole journey. And there was a clear vision of the operations of the football team. There was a clear vision in terms of what the Cowboys organization had the potential to become. And all of that started to work and align itself. There has not been an alignment, in my opinion, for a long time. There has not been a commitment to not only the brand of the Dallas Cowboys globally and what that brand really means, but operationally, that operation brand has not even married up or prepared itself to the brand on the global basis. So I think the vision and the direction need to get realigned. I think there's a disalignment in terms of who the Cowboys really are. I mean, that commitment needs to be balanced. That's the way the game was built. That's the way we built it. That's the way we want it. And we've gotten away from it. We're running around trying to chase and do what everyone else is doing, and I think that's a bad thing.
Well, is that on Jerry Jones?
That's on. I mean, he's going to tell you it's on him as well. At the end of the day, he makes the decision. He made that very clear. So there's no questioning who's it on. I mean, period. And so he's directing everything. So it starts with him and it ends with him. And he's the first one to tell you that.
Emmitt Smith is joining us, the Hall of Famer, the three-time Super Bowl champion, on behalf of Tableau, which we'll get to. Big stuff before the Super Bowl. You know, I have a theory about Jerry, but you know him obviously much better than I would. I have a theory that he's actually – doesn't really want to win. He might think he does, but he's in the Hall of Fame. He keeps the Dallas Cowboys relevant because he's always out there talking. He keeps hope and people, like, he dangles a carrot in front of Dallas Cowboy fans, right, so they'll follow him. But as far as building a championship team and doing what it takes, he won't do it. So I don't think he really does want to win another Super Bowl, Emmitt. I'm curious what you think of that theory.
I kind of find that hard to believe, but I understand the theory. I think I can't totally disagree with it because in the 30 years, as smart of a man as Jerry Jones really is, you would have thought that he would have made the adjustments and did what's required to get his team back to the Super Bowl, especially when you are and have been the leader of everything in the National Football League since you got in the league. Everyone has – you are the grand poupon of the National Football League. I mean, you showed them how to build a beautiful stadium and what that really means to each and every organization. You showed them what it's like to have a first-class facility in terms of your headquarters. You showed them how to create more value for the National Football League in terms of television contracts and everything else. You also helped probably shape the structure of salary caps and everything else. Such a brilliant man. Now, can you take the time to figure out what's going on within our own organization to help us get back to the Super Bowl? Hey, if you don't get back, that's fine with me. You know why it's fine with me? Because you're going to keep talking about Troy, Michael, and Emmitt. and the 1990s Dallas Cowboys. If you really want to get back there and change that narrative and put your fingerprint on it, do something different. Because what's been happening over the last 25, 30 years is not working.
So when reports came out that Deion Sanders was a candidate, what did you think of hiring Deion as a head coach at this level?
He'd be a great coach. Don't get me wrong. He'd be a great coach. I didn't know if he really wanted to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. Because Deion is a motivator. He's an inspirational guy. And he's been raising kids for a long time. And raising kids meaning that I can impact their lives. I'm not sure that some of these grown men that are getting paid millions of dollars want to sit down and hear every story. Mm. And so it creates a challenge for him. But I think he can adjust and make it happen, make it work. And so, but I think he'll be a phenomenal coach at no matter what level. The question is, does he really want to coach that next level? Mm. Or where he feels he can impact a person's life?
Well, I would love to know. Deion Sanders walks in and you've got an Emmitt Smith in his playing prime, just coming off a season with over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Would you want to hear Deion's inspirational messages?
He's been there. Okay. Yeah. But I'm a different kind of player. I'm a throwback kind of player. I'm not a player that's in this era that's always looking for clicks or looking for that. I'm looking for a performance on the football field. What's going to help me become a better football player? How can I move to this place of consistency and longevity? Who can help me do that? And who can put me in a position to where I get a chance to impact my team when I'm on the football field? That's really what's important. That's the way most players should be thinking. I was never worried about whether or not I was going to get paid because my performance would dictate whether or not I would get paid and how much I get paid. It's pretty simple. There's a formula out here. I can go look at the top five running backs in the National Football League to this day, and that top five is going to have rushing yards and it's going to have a dollar tied to them. And at the end of the day, how do I climb the ranks? What do I need to do? What offense I need to be in? What coordinator is going to help me meet my personal goals within the team concept? Because if I want to become a Super Bowl champion and these guys up here aren't Super Bowl champions, then there's a formula for that too. But if I want to become a Super Bowl champion in the 90s and this guy got three rings and he's leading the league in rushing, that's what I want too. So you find inspiration everywhere. And the question is the organization willing to go there with you?
Did you think it was the right move to re-sign Dak Prescott?
Yes. Yes. Who else was better? Outside of that, you have to develop a new quarterback. And developing quarterbacks in this day and age, even in college nowadays, kids get to move around so much, you can't develop great quarterbacks. I mean, if they ain't happy, they leave. And if they're leaving that quickly, then they might not be for your organization in the first place.
Well, you mentioned balance earlier. How about drafting Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State? He's in a lot of mock drafts going
for
to the Cowboys.
Who?
For the Cowboys.
I think it's a bad move, to be honest. I think we need more than Ashton Jeanty. I think if Ashton Jeanty comes to the Cowboys right now, he's going to get beat up. Mm. I don't think we're ready. We don't have the right mindset. We don't have the right commitments. I just talked about commitments and being disaligned. I think we're drafting exciting pieces. Back to your point earlier about winning. Exciting pieces that get fans, oh, we got Ashton Jeanty. Oh, we're going to be able to run the ball. Okay. You're trying to tell me Zeke Elliott and Rico Dowdle could not carry their team? No. There was no commitment to run the football. And when there was a commitment, when Dak Prescott went down, Rico ran the ball well. So don't tell me we can't run the football. Dak went down. They shifted from Cooper Kupp. Well, not Cooper Kupp, but
Cooper Rush.
It brought his passes down and created more runs for the running game. And then you start having this level of balance and start to show some kind of consistency. Need to do that the whole entire year. That's the formula that I'm talking about. And so quit trying to do what everyone else is doing in the National Football League. Your quarterback is not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Joe Burrow. He's Dak Prescott. And there's a formula for Dak Prescott to be successful. And I don't think Mike McCarthy and them tapped into that formula. They try to do what everyone else is doing, a copycat league.
The Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith on behalf of Tableau. Okay, this is cool. It's a device, mm-hmm. and it's a way that you can watch the Super Bowl for free.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, nothing is ever free.
Well, of course.
Nothing is ever free.
I'm sorry, without a subscription.
How about without subscription and no fees and all that kind of stuff? That's where the free part comes at. Because if you got TV right now, you got all kinds of things, apps that you have to download, and you have to pay for these apps. And those apps adds up to big dollars on a month-to-month basis. With Tableau, you can get as many channels, especially sports channels, and see all the sporting events that you want. All for one price to hook up an antenna and to link into your Wi-Fi so you can get all these channels and hit pause, rewind, and play and all these kind of things with the device. But you get all your local channels. You get televisions. You get different type of networks and everything else. And so for one price versus paying all these subscriptions.
Oh, I have 100. I don't even know what I subscribe to anymore. I've got so many.
Here's the crazy thing. I'm asking myself, I got all these TVs in my house. This one device connects to all of my TVs. All of my TVs. And not only that, but all of my TVs get the same channels. So my kids can be watching something different upstairs, and I can be watching something different downstairs. And so, but with some of these packages, you can find yourself paying $300-$500 a month for these packages.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. TableauTV.com is where you can go for all of the details and this great product. Because, it's out of control.
Yeah,
we need Tableau. Yeah. Perloff does.
Oh, totally. I know you got to run real quick. Could Micah Parsons be as good a running back as you? Because he claims he could.
I doubt it. He may be tough, but he can't run it like I run. There's a reason why I play running back and he played defense end. There's a reason why you are a defense end, bro. There's a reason why you're that. All this I coulda, woulda, shoulda, we'll never know, will we?
Tell you what, not many ran it like you. Emmitt Smith, the Hall of Famer on behalf of Tableau, and go to TableauTV.com for more details. Thanks, Emmitt.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, let's head to Andrew Bogish. We're going to actually take a quick break. We'll come back with Bogish and headlines and everything from Radio Row in just a moment. It's M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We're so pleased to be joined in person by our pal Nick Kostos. Every Friday, you hear him on our show, but now we're together here in New Orleans. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Better than I'm with you guys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Okay, let's get to this. This line has not changed. It has not budged. 1.5, that's what it's maintained. Chiefs favored. Have your thoughts changed at all? I know you have a future on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, but have your thoughts changed at all by anything you've heard this week?
I wouldn't say my thoughts have changed. I would say that I'm getting a little nervous as the week goes on. My nervousness is, are the Eagles going to stuff the Chiefs in a locker?
Really?
Because I don't know if there's a game state that exists where Kansas City blows the Eagles out. I think the Chiefs win the game like they win every game. Like, it's close, and Mahomes is the best quarterback of all time in those spots. But I do think there's a game state where Philly wins this game similarly to the Bucs in Super Bowl 55 against the Chiefs, and they lean on them in the line of scrimmage. Now, Kansas City had O-line injuries in that game, but Philly's tremendously talented, obviously, in the trenches on both sides. So I'm still in on Kansas City. I'm not hedging. I'm not betting Philadelphia at all. But I would say I am getting a little nervous. Maybe it's just too much time in between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl, but I'm getting a little nervous as we approach Sunday.
Nick, your Peacock cohort, Chris Sims, had a great point. For the Eagles to beat the Chiefs, they might have to crush them, which obviously makes sense. If you crush somebody, you're going to win the game. But I think Eagles fans are nervous, and I'm an Eagles fan, that a close game is not going to go well. So, as you said, stuff in the locker, try and get a big lead. I know, obviously, you want to get a big lead, but it feels really important for the Eagles to jump out on this one.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I don't want to say that Kansas City, that Philly can't win a close game, because it is worth noting, and I think I'm a bigger Jalen Hurts fan than most. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is awesome. He did play the best game of his career in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and you could make an argument that he's the MVP of that game even in a losing effort.
Wow.
Like, he put the ball on the ground for a fumble six. He was every bit as good as Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl. So almost like, why can't that happen again? So if you're the Eagles, I think obviously any team wants to jump out to a lead in any game, but I think you almost have more confidence. How about like the same amount of confidence you would have in Josh Allen? And I don't mean that in a negative way, that like Allen should have beaten the Chiefs in the 13 seconds game. Like, he played well enough to beat Mahomes in that game. Hurts played well enough to win Super Bowl 57. So that if the game's close, you know, like, I'm going to feel confident because, like, Mahomes has always done it, but I'm not going to feel like it's 100%.
So how do you live bet this game? Because I have a feeling that the Eagles are going to have a lead going into the fourth quarter, and maybe money starts pouring in on Philadelphia. Like, give us the live bettors view of this.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on, like, how the game state plays out. I think if you get Kansas City, you'll probably get Kansas City at some point as an underdog in the game, and that, I think, would be valuable to somebody who does not have a current position. Of course, I say this as someone who likes Kansas City in the game. So Philly jumps out to a lead. Let's say they're up by 10 in the midway through the second, but possibly they were up by double digits in the first half in Super Bowl 57, and you get Kansas City plus 3.5 where they lose by 3 and you win. Yeah, that seems pretty good. I actually want to take your question in a different direction.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that's in the live MVP market.
Okay.
Because MVP will be open during the game.
Right.
And that is just tremendously, tremendously fun. So last year was a bit of a wacky Super Bowl, right? So the last drive of the game, as like you feel like Kansas City's going to win the game, Mahomes is just going to win.
Yeah.
But during the whole all of regulation, you have no idea who's going to win. Actually felt like Juwan Jennings was the most likely Super Bowl MVP for like a lot of the second half, and Jennings is getting slammed in the live market because you don't know how to account for that in the moment. Like, think about it. All the factors that are at play here, weighting the probability of the quarterbacks. You know, Harrison Butker was getting slammed at points last year because there was no offense early in the game. I think that's a really fun market. Let's say first drive of the game, Jalen Carter, strip sack of Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He returns it for a touchdown. 7-0 Eagles. Now you have entered a game where you have an outcome now where Jalen Carter can win Super Bowl MVP, and he's going to be at a huge price in the live market. Similarly, like I'm just like George Karlaftis, strip sack fumble. Mm-hmm. Another strip sack fumble. Or here's Quinyon Mitchell with 2 interceptions in the first half. Not that they're going to win, but now you have outcomes where crazy things could happen, mm-hmm. right? Things have happened that could create an outcome where, you know, here's Malcolm Smith. Here's Dexter Jackson. Here's Larry Brown, Super Bowl MVP, where something crazy like that could happen.
You know, for people who love this game for the just pages and pages of interesting props, besides any 10 touchdown for Kraukotir, who else do you like? What else do you like?
Yeah, so we're looking for like player-specific stuff or like anything?
Just anything. Fun stuff.
So I bet the coin toss every year. It's a terrible mathematical bet to place because you're paying a vig on a 50-50 proposition. But I love it. And I will just say, I think I said this with you guys last week, like, please gamble responsibly with this game, because you're probably going to have more bets than normal, and when you go to sleep at night, if you lose all those bets, you need to be able to fall asleep and not be, like feel terrible about yourself.
Be like, ah, tails.
So, yeah, so I'm going to have all these bets, I'm going to bet responsibly, so if I lose everything, I'm not devastated when I go to bed at night. So I bet tails every single year. The rush that you get when that coin's in the air, man, and you're waiting to find out what it is absolutely tremendous. So you can create these little moments of excitement for yourself, right? And also, like, call 1-800-GAMBLER if you feel like you have a problem. These great pockets of excitement. You can bet the color of Gatorade to get dumped on the coach.
I know, but you've told me in the past that there are certain bets that people will know, and you can tell that by the market.
So,
like, it gets out.
Yeah, so like you'll...
Like the national anthem singer, you're going to know how long they are.
That will get
leaked.
That gets leaked, and it gets blasted, and then it gets taken down.
Yes.
So I have an offshore account that I use, and they have actually changed the verbiage on it this year, and I think it says, like, bets good up until rehearsal starts. They are reserving the right, basically, and this is not a domestic sports book, not BetMGM, like an offshore account. You know, the way people used to gamble before gambling was legal, where they are literally reserving the right to say, we are going to, like, cancel your bet if you feel like you have information. So, like, that stuff will get out. And
right,
just like
you hear the rehearsal, then someone calls somebody,
correct.
And then everyone knows.
So let's say, for instance, right, I don't have the market in front of me, that the Gatorade color, let's say purple's plus 600.
Yeah.
And then you look at it right before kickoff, and it's like minus 120.
Yeah.
Like, people probably know that it's going to be purple, correct, using the market as a guide there. But I love bets like that where, you know, away from yardage, where I can do more yardage stuff, but, you know, like, coach to throw coach's challenge flag. When you are looking for, like, is the ball out or not? And then the camera shows the coach, and he's like, is he going to throw the flag or not? Those moments of excitement are really great.
All right, what about some yardage stuff, though? And then I want to get an over-under thought on you.
Okay, so I'll start. You know, Kansas City, the guy that I like, and it's been bet up, and now I think it's close to right, is Juju Smith-Schuster. So you know, when the Chiefs traded in late October for DeAndre Hopkins, the expectation was he's going to be like a big factor in this offense. You know, through two playoff games, they barely used him. And I've heard people say, well, now it's the Super Bowl, now they're going to use him, to which I would say, I don't know, like, we watched the AFC title game. Like, if they needed him in that game, they would have used him. They didn't. And he seems like, in quotes that he's given, to be kind of okay with this, playing like this reduced role. Juju went for 3-60 in the AFC championship game. He obviously played well in the Super Bowl against the Eagles 2 years ago, had the Bradberry holding call at the end of the game that decided it on the Butker game-winning field goal. So Juju was 12.5. Now he's 17.5. I think, like, that's good up to 20. So I like Juju. Chiefs running backs are a little difficult. Hunt is correctly lined much more than Pacheco. But that, to me, is less of a, you know, they're not using Hopkins because Pacheco was hurt. So I think you can create something in your head that says, okay, we're going to see more Pacheco now in this game. Now, 2 weeks off, like, maybe we see more Pacheco. So that I want to stay away from. Kelce, I would only bet the over. Xavier Worthy, I'd only bet the over. Hollywood Brown, I don't trust. On the Philly side, A.J. Brown number has been bet up. He's now at 70.5. I feel like A.J. Brown goes over regardless of game state. No matter. Low-scoring game, he goes over. High-scoring game, he goes over. I think Devontae Smith only goes over if it's a higher-scoring game and the game gets a little loose. Dallas Goedert, I like a lot. I bet him each of the first three playoff games for the Eagles. Since he came off week IR in week 18 against the Giants, he's been an absolute beast. He's Jalen Hurts' binky over the middle of the field. But his yardage prop has been adjusted up now. It's not in the low 40s. Now it's in the low 50s. But if I had to pick one, Goedert or Devontae Smith, I would go with Goedert. But I don't want to get away from the great A.J. Brown.
Do you, when you look at this game, do you think both teams are going to try and slow it down? A lot of handoffs. Like, Buffalo came out in the second half, ran it right down Kansas City's throat. Do you think Philly will try to establish that kind of game? Maybe get over on Barkley carries, maybe get under on the total?
The Saquon number's really high. I'm a little scared by it. I'm going to stay away from it. If I had to bet it, I would actually bet the under. And I would guess that this is more of a Jalen Hurts game than it is a Saquon.
Jalen Hurts passing or running?
Jalen Hurts passing and Jalen Hurts running. And he was the leading rusher 2 years ago for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I think 9 for 70. And the Eagles did nothing on the ground with Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. Saquon's obviously better than those guys.
Nick Costos is the host of You Better You Bet, BetMGM Network. Excited for you guys. And, of course, on Peacock with Femi. Say hi.
We will.
All right, let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines for us. Bogues, what's happening?
Maggie Pearl, Kevin Durant is still a Phoenix Sun this morning, apparently shooting down a trade that would have returned him to the Warriors while bringing Jimmy Butler to the desert because KD didn't want that reunion. So the Dubs are taking Butler instead, plus signing him to a 2-year extension worth $111 million. Golden State giving up Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first-round pick this summer. The deal also involved the Jazz and Pistons.
Come on, bro.
Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra on the drawn-out breakup.
Every team, you're going to be dealing with something, you know, during the course of a long 82-game season. You can make excuses. You can get distracted. You can do a lot of different things to take your mind off on the task at hand. I really commend our group for staying the course and coming in every day trying to get better.
The Heat
I'm
won.
Emo.
One in Philly last night, 108-101. Players told by fans behind the bench about the trade during the game. We also have the Lakers getting Hornets 7-footer Mark Williams for Dalton Kennect, Cam Reddish, and LA's unprotected 2031 number one, and the Raptors dealing for Pelicans forward Brandon Ingram, all ahead of this afternoon's deadline. On the court last night,
Sean Gilgeous, LGS Alexander,
had 50 points as the Thunder crushed the Suns 140-109. SGA is the ninth player ever with 3 50-point games in a 7-game span. And now this morning, Chet Holmgren reportedly off the OKC injury report. He could return from his broken hip as soon as tomorrow.
The rich get richer.
The Nuggets thumped the Pels 144-119. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. combining for 67 points. The Bucks snapped their 4-game skid 112-102 in Charlotte, and the Cavs left Troy with a 118-115 win on a Darius Garland 31-footer at the buzzer. Maggie, it's time to connect some dots here. Eagles stud D lineman Jalen Carter sees Perloff in his short shorts, and now he's sick. Carter putting in only a limited practice yesterday in New Orleans.
Yeah, could have seen that coming. I mean, they didn't describe or disclose the illness, so we don't know if he was just faint. Like, was it actually to just run a fever? Ah, it's like, you know, someone from the Louis the 14th time, just like passing out on a couch.
Blinded by paleness.
Yeah, he has double pink eye.
The retinas are just gone.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Hopefully he doesn't need those for the big game. Are you nervous that Jalen Carter is fighting an illness?
Yes. He is the key to this victory for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think everybody knows that.
He's going to be a big piece. I mean, that's for sure. Is he the key?
Yes.
I think the key is actually Saquon and them getting a lead and being able to sit on it. But Jalen Carter is a big piece.
They need him to get that lead. Chris Jones, you could argue, is the key on the other side. We saw Aaron Donald single-handedly blow up a Super Bowl. So a defensive tackle can win this game.
It's a lot to put on a young guy, no?
Well, yeah, but he's the best player on the team, I think. Well, no, say him or Saquon. That's a good poll question.
Yeah, well, we did who's the second best person in the game after Mahomes.
Yeah, I know. That's when I said someone else. I said Saquon probably. But then I saw Jalen Carter walking on the street, and his presence is terrifying. I'm telling you, folks are laughing at me like it is a moving mountain of muscle.
I know. You were not afraid to show him your entire leg.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't stop you from doing calisthenics like in front of him. I mean, I thought you were trying to help this team.
Whatever. At least I didn't walk straight past the 2,000-yard rusher Saquon Barkley and had no idea who he was guys did. Maggie and EJ just walked straight past Saquon.
It's not that we don't know who he is. Yeah. Obviously, we do.
Obviously not.
No, but no, we were so busy chit-chatting coming into the lobby talking about the show.
Yep. Oh, yeah, right.
Producing the Seriously. Show that we were just engrossed in conversation. We didn't realize that Saquon Barkley walked right by us. Now, to be fair, he was like he had like his hood up. He was not like peacocking around the lobby.
Whatever.
He was hiding.
He broke past you like he did the Washington Commanders linebackers. by the way, that guy is in good shape.
You think so?
I think he's been to the gym a time or two.
Inspiration for all of us.
Did you have pants or shorts on for this encounter? For
a bathing suit.
Oh, well, then Saquon's not playing Sunday.
Speedo.
Yeah, he loved us. I mean, I don't think we're making enough. Thanks, Bokes. Bokes, hang with us, though. I mean, I don't think we're making enough just to switch back to basketball because we're not going to talk about basketball at all probably the rest of, until the Super Bowl is over. Don't worry, Manny.
Our group chat still exists, Manny. We're good.
I know. Thank you, Manny, for pointing out that Dennis Schroeder's now been traded twice in the same season. That's a badge of honor nobody wants.
You're welcome.
I feel like KD should be getting a little more criticism for this. Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors is interesting. It's shiny new toy, and how's he going to be with Steph, and can he get along with Draymond? But can we please, pay a little attention, Pearl, to Durant not wanting to go to the Warriors? We already know he's a great fit.
Yep.
We have no idea what Jimmy Butler's going to be like. Why wouldn't he go for the more sure thing? He did it, 10 years ago,
so
6 years ago.
He deserves to be ripped for this.
I think it's just weird that he wouldn't go back, and it's not for basketball reasons. He didn't go back because he's, afraid of what the public's going to say? He's afraid of what Charles Barkley's going to call him, a bus rider? Barkley already did that.
So why is he – but he's going to go back and not even win the title again? There's no reason for him to do this.
You could dust off the old playbook, run a couple sets. It's kind of, it'd be way more turnkey. There'd be way fewer question marks if he joined the Warriors than Jimmy Butler.
Ask, why are people not criticizing him? I think people are over KD. I mean, I'm sorry. They're kind of getting over LeBron and getting over Steph Curry. We're seeing a passing of the torch. That's why this trade deadline to me is a little funny. We got a lot of old players in the ether who, honestly, we got the Thunder coming up. We got the Rockets coming up. I think that's why people are not focused
on the Lakers. I mean, that will be a headliner.
Jimmy Butler, is he really going to make a difference to anybody at this point? Is KD going to make a difference? I think that's really why it's not front and center.
I get it. And listen, it's not like Butler has been playing great, and it's not like KD. I mean, Butler just hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
Period. And KD has dealt with his injuries too, and you got to be so careful about the load management and all that. Mm-hmm. I just think that if this was really just because he was afraid of the headlines and the backlash, that's weak to me.
Oh, okay. That's because you're a big LeBron fan. And the fact that you say he's better than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't have to go to a super team. Of course, it always comes back to LeBron.
Oh, man. I didn't think so. Well, now we get to see LeBron with Luka, and that will be our...
Another version of a super team.
No doubt. Very, very
true. But they need one more piece to make it super, though.
That's true. Well, they have until this afternoon. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Fantastic job today being traffic cop. Manny Rodriguez holding down the fort back at HQ. Great job. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, just killing it. Thank you to Frank, our engineer here, David Marinick. Thank you to our guests. The Hall of Famer Emmett Smith was excellent. Jalen Milroe, Gary V, Jim Harbaugh, DeMario Davis, Joey Porter Sr., and Nick Costos. We'll see you tomorrow.